Well, howdy, Grace Church. Nice to see your lovely faces. My name's Jeremy, married to Deb. Famous for having four sisters and no brothers, five daughters and no sons. Just let that drink sip into your head. I mean, that's quite a big thing, isn't it? Yes, thank you very much. And we're going through a series called Tales of the Kingdom, when we're looking at parables that Jesus taught. So far, in the last 45 minutes, have you noticed that Jesus has been a fairly large feature in what we've been singing about? In fact, it's all been for him, hasn't it? And these are words that Jesus taught 2,000 years ago. So we're going to look at that. And one of the things that's amazing when we look at the teaching of Jesus in kind of any context, whether it's just on our own with our Bible or whether we're in this kind of context, is that we've got this kind of huge, kind of weird and amazing advantage, which sometimes we kind of forget. How good is it to be able to think about what Jesus says in these words, but ask him for his help, because he's here right now by his Spirit to help us to understand what he said 2,000 years ago. So we're not talking about some abstract thing over there. He is here by his Spirit to help us. Jesus is here. So why don't we just talk to him right now? Jesus. It's your breath in our lungs. That's why we've been pouring out our praise to you. Jesus. We just want to acknowledge your presence here. We thank you, Jesus, that you know every single person here. You know exactly what's going on in our lives. You know our history. You know where we're at. You know what happened this week. You know whether we are following you or whether we don't know you or what it is, Jesus, but you love every single one of us. And you love to speak to us. We open our ears not to hear just the voice of some bloke called Jeremy at the front, but to hear your voice. What is it you want to say to me this morning? It might be similar, but it might be different to the person next to me, because you know what's going on in my life. I'd encourage each one of us, each one of you, to just say these three words quietly in your heart. Speak to me, Jesus. Make yourself known, Jesus, to a greater level in all our hearts. This morning, Jesus. Amen. So we're going to look at these words of Jesus, just four verses it is, and it comes from Mark chapter 4, verse 26 to 29. They'll come up on the screen now. He also said, so this is Jesus also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. I've got five things that I think will help us navigate these few verses from Jesus, these words of Jesus. The first one is that Jesus is describing the kingdom of God. This is what the kingdom of God is like. So let's think about that for a minute. The kingdom of God. Every kingdom has a king. Jesus is that king that we're talking about here. So when Jesus says this is what the kingdom of God is like, what he's saying is this is what my reign looks like. This is how my kingdom works. And to understand the kingdom of God, it really helps to understand the king. And Jesus is not just a king, he's the King of Kings. I ask you a question, do you know him? Do you know him? This King of Kings, do you love him? Are you seeking in your life to honour and serve the King of Kings? Now, I'm a UK citizen, and I became a Christian in my teens. And when I became a Christian, I didn't stop being a UK citizen, but I became, at that point, a citizen in the kingdom of God. So this is why I want to listen to this. I want to hear what Jesus is talking about, because I'm part of this kingdom, and I know many of you are. When someone becomes a Christian, Jesus becomes their king. They live in this world, in the UK in my case, but we are part of another kingdom at the same time. And our allegiance is now primarily to the King of Kings. Now, whatever you think about the king and whatever, I'm not going to talk about that. But our allegiance, when we become a Christian, is to the King of Kings. Maybe before that point, when we become Christians, we live for ourselves, or we follow other false gods. But when we become a Christian, what we do is we say, no, Jesus, you're the King of Kings. You're now number one. Whether I follow you or not, you're still number one, but I'm coming in line with you and I'm making you my king. And it's actually entirely possible this morning, even one or two people may choose to switch their allegiance to the King Jesus this morning, here perhaps even for the first time, and become citizens of the kingdom of God that Jesus is talking about here. And if that's you, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond at the end. You see, one day, all of creation, every knee, from every nation, tribe, and people will bow the knee to this king. And the glorious thing about being a Christian is we get in early. And we do it willingly because our hearts have been won by the king. And we love him. And it's not duty. It's a delight to follow this king. Because this king is not like any other king. He's a servant king. This king washes feet, touched lepers. He's a friend of sinners and outcasts. And yet he's the King of Kings. And yet when this king came to his people, they rejected him, they whipped him, they spat on him, they crucified him. This king willingly gave his life to save those like us who don't deserve it. But death could not hold this king. And on the third day, this king rose from the grave. Hallelujah. Which demonstrates all sorts of things about this king. He has authority. He has authority even over death. Death couldn't hold him. He has authority over sickness. He has authority over evil, over demons. And when we pray, as the king taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, his followers, us, when we pray that prayer, what we're praying is that God's reign will come on earth. Are you praying that prayer for your life? That God's reign would come more to your life? Are you praying for God's reign in your family? Are you praying for God's reign in your street? Are we praying for God's reign in Truro and in our villages around us? Are we praying for God's reign in our school, in our college, in our university? Are we praying for God's reign in our workplace? When we pray this prayer, we ought not to be surprised if lives are transformed. Because Jesus taught us to pray this prayer. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So when we pray this prayer, we kind of know it's a good prayer. Because we know where it came from, the king. We shouldn't be surprised if places are transformed. We shouldn't even be surprised if people are healed. Physically. We shouldn't be surprised if the enemy who opposes the king and his kingdom takes flight when we pray this prayer. And in this parable, Jesus is describing what his kingdom is like. And what does he say it's like? Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a man, verse 26, who scatters seed on the ground. Now, scattering is not an exact science. And in fact, the Greek word that's used here by Mark, ballo, is to throw indiscriminately. To let go of something without care where it falls. To be liberal with our throwing. And to be not certain quite where it's going to fall or the result of the scattering. That's the kind of idea in the word ballo. Now, seeds aren't often very impressive. But they're miraculous, aren't they? My wife Deb's just growing sweet peas on the kitchen window sill right now. And it's even now, as a 61 old man, there's a childlike fascination when you see this little thing just suddenly, 2 or 3 days in, suddenly go, oh, hang on, is it there? Anyone growing seeds on their window sills? This is the time to do it, apparently. Little seeds, they don't look very impressive, but they're full of potential, aren't they? And enormous trees grow from tiddly seeds. It's kind of miraculous, isn't it? I mean, it really is. And yet, if earthly seeds are miraculous, how much more miraculous are heavenly seeds, the kind of seeds that Jesus is talking about. I was just cleaning my teeth about 2 hours ago. You'll be pleased to know. And I felt God just said this to me. And I feel it's something for you and for us as a church. Scattered seeds bear fruit in unexpected places. Don't be surprised, Grace Church, if you suddenly see fruit suddenly over there when you didn't, because you scatter seeds. Don't be surprised if we bear fruit in unexpected places. And I'll tell you what, okay, this is a bit weird, but the drummer, bloke with a hat, as I'm cleaning my teeth, I've never spoken to you, have I? So I'm cleaning my teeth in front of the mirror, but then suddenly your face pops into my mind, right? I don't even know your name, right, okay? And I felt that God said this to you. Don't be surprised about seed growing in unexpected places. It's almost like you're looking for fruit here, and I'm not saying you should stop looking for fruit in specific areas where you want to see fruit in your life, but don't be surprised if there's fruit suddenly appears to your right. So don't just focus on one thing. God is, I don't know whether this makes any sense, but there may be fruit. Look to the right. Look to the right, because there's fruit in unexpected places in your life. I don't know whether when I'm cleaning my teeth tomorrow, your head will appear in my... So my second point is about scattering. My third point is, we do our bit, the scattering, or the farmer does his bit, the scattering, but God does his bit, the growing. God always does the main thing. I mean, we get to partner with him, which is great, but he always does the heavy lifting. If there's any ever fruit, it's always God who's done it. We don't take the credit. We might be involved in it. It's wonderful to be involved in what God is doing. We partner with God. That's how God loves to work. But when something happens, a life is transformed, or a community is, or things, fruit is suddenly there, you just think, God did that. I had a small part to play. I just scattered a load of seed. But the growth came because God, because that's what the kingdom of God is like. This week, I got an email from this bloke called Dave. I met Dave 22 years ago when we first came down to plant the church in Newquay, and Dave was the third person to become Christian. Now, Dave had really quite serious physical health issues and definitely some serious mental health issues. But we got to know him about a couple of years into planting the church, and he became a Christian. And we used to go and visit Dave quite a bit. Now, I'll be honest with you, the reason why we used to go and visit Dave, or at least call him every couple of days, is because we knew he was so vulnerable emotionally. We were not sure how he would be that day. We used to just feel like it was important for us to check up on Dave. And I'll tell you what, it's a great thing. About 6 months after becoming a Christian, he's in one of our church small groups, and he suddenly said to the people there, I wasn't there, and he said, actually, can I share something? And we all went, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, well, they said, yeah, go ahead, Dave. He said, you're probably going to think I'm nuts, okay? But like 6 months before I met you lot and I became a Christian, I took a massive overdose. I wanted to kill myself. And someone found me, and amazingly got me to Trelisk, but I'd so, like, I shouldn't be alive. Do you know what I mean? And the doctors told my parents, he's not going to come out of this. And even if he does, he's just not going to be with it. He's just totally, massively done himself in. And then Dave said to this small group, he said, you're probably going to think I'm nuts here, but actually, when I was in that coma for quite a long time, Jesus appeared to me. Now, Dave has got no Christian background at all, right? We never met him, he never heard the gospel, he didn't know anything about Jesus, whatever. But in his coma, which was self-induced, Jesus appears to him. And he's kind of like apologetically telling the small group what happened. And Jesus said to him, Dave, you're not going to die now. I've got a plan for your life. And he woke up, and he was all right. 6 months later, he met some Christians and became a follower of Jesus. 22 years later, I got an email this week from Dave, who lives in Arkansas with his lovely wife, Linda, and he's doing so well following Jesus. You know, I mean, who did that? I mean, who did that? God did that. It's amazing. He even said, he actually said in his email this week, he said, I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God now. He certainly is. Look what God does. He's amazing, isn't he? Now, we had a part to play in that, but God did it. And we get invited into this privilege of being in God's purposes on the earth, in our home, in our school, in our university. What is God going to do in your work situation, which might be really tough, or in your school, or down your street? Don't limit what the seed could grow from that. One of the great things about being old, and I am 61, is I've had the joy of seeing stuff that was scattered, seed that was scattered 20, 30 years ago, which at the time didn't seem to bear much fruit, frankly. And now, 30 years later, we get to see the fruit of it. Now, sometimes we'll never see the fruit of it, but as an old man, I get to see stuff. You young guys, you just haven't seen it yet. It's the old guys. We get to see far more than you guys. It's amazing. Hopeless situations, and they seemed hopeless years after the situation. You suddenly see, man, God, you're amazing. Because it's like this thing popped out of the ground. I wonder what fruit there might be from seed that was scattered from you this week. It might pop up next week. It might not pop up for a few years, a couple of decades. And I love this bit in verse 27. Night and day, whether he sleeps or get up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. He's talking about the sower, the farmer. So the farmer scatters the seeds and he goes to bed. He just goes to bed. Night and day. He just gets on with his ordinary life. He knows that independent of him, the seed grows to maturity without him having anxious thoughts about him. Says he knows not how. He doesn't really work out, know how it works. All by itself, the soil produces grain. He doesn't make the seed grow. God makes the seed grow. This is what the kingdom of God is like. We do our bit, but God does his bit. And Peter, like, for example, one of the followers of Jesus really understood this. When, you know, when he comes after Jesus has just gone back to the heaven, and Peter's walking up in Acts 3 to the temple to pray, and there's the lame man, a bloke who's lame from birth. And Peter says, get up. This lame man suddenly, miraculously, is healed. And everyone goes, oh, Peter. And Peter says, why do you stare at us off as if by our own power or godliness had made this man walk? See, it's a miracle, isn't it, happened that day. There's one thing that's really great about miracles is that we can't do them without God. So anytime there's a miracle, it's got to be him, isn't it? So that's actually quite liberating, really, isn't it? The pressure's off. When we lay hands on the sick, and we might even do some of that later, or you might do that this week with someone, or I don't know. You lob in seed, but it's up to, if it's going to miracle, it's going to be God who does it. That's the pressure's off us. We're just looking to God to do something, but we're just going to get involved, and we're going to take the risk. And maybe we might look a bit stupid, but, you know, we're just scattering seed liberally. Isn't that amazing? And when we, I mean, and if you've ever seen any healings, and they go, oh, I'm better. You go, are you? Are you sure? No, surely you can't be. But God does it, isn't it? It's amazing. And 24 years ago, God led some of us down here to plant a church, and somebody said this, which is really helpful, a prophetic word, and the only explanation for what happens in Cornwall is the power of God. We're dependent on God. As a church, Grace Church, be dependent on and expectant in what God can do. We just scatter seeds. But God does the work. But as in the natural, the harvest of God's kingdoms doesn't always happen instantly. Sometimes it does. Isn't that great? You ever prayed for someone and breakthrough straight away? But often, it doesn't. We want it to be like Jack and the Beanstalk, who just lobs a load of seed out overnight, and the next morning is grown and he can climb the branches. Now, that, well, actually it never happens, but in the natural. But like, we would love things to be like that in the kingdom of God. Sometimes it is, but most of the time it isn't. Most time the growth is slow, gradual, imperceptible even. Changes take time. Like the sweet peas on our kitchen windowsill. The growth actually is going on, but it's invisible because it's under the ground. And we're looking at the top of the soil, and it's like, well, nothing's happened here. Next day, nothing's happened here. Next day, nothing. Well, actually, something is, but you just can't see it. Now it's popped through. Hang on, is there something going on there? Hang on, is that a leaf? Is that a little, oh, hang on, oh, yeah, it is. Oh, 2 days later, hang on, I'm seeing something, definitely. No, now that's all. It's a process. Jesus even talked about first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. Many of us are longing for breakthrough. Maybe in our lives, in our family, in our street, in our town, in our workplace, in our finances, whatever. We're longing for that breakthrough. I feel God would just want to say to you, or Jesus would say, through this parable, be patient. Be patient. Have faith. Place your confidence in me. Because God brings the growth. You can go to bed and just get on with your ordinary life. But be confident in me. We don't exactly know how it works. Verse 27, I'll read it again. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. There is kind of this element of mystery in the kingdom of God. We don't quite understand the process. We don't quite understand the precise outcome. We may not know what the extent of the crop will be, or we don't know about the timing. We don't need to know all of these things. But we do need to be confident that the King will bring his kingdom. And he will do it his way. So do not be discouraged if you don't see things according to your expectations, because he'll do it his way. Isaiah 55 verse 8, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Many of us are longing for those breakthroughs in our lives, families, finances, work, people around us. Let's be confident that the King will bring his kingdom. Trust him, especially on those dark days. Especially when we can't see or we don't understand what God is doing. The farmer doesn't just sow, though. The farmer reaps. And this is my last point. Be ready to reap, Grace Church. Be on the lookout to reap. Verse 29, as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle in because the harvest has come. Now, as soon as, there's that word is immediately, the harvest is ready, straight away, at once, forthwith, the farmer, who has not lost heart, gets there ready. He's ready for reaping. Because the farmer is not only ready, but he's not given up hope. The farmer is patient. The farmer is also attentive. He's on the lookout. He's expectant. The farmer is ready. There is great reward in patience. There may be just things that you've been longing for in your life that is just around the corner. Maybe you're feeling like you've lost heart. Don't lose heart. God's heard every prayer. Sometimes we do lose heart, don't we? Sometimes we are tempted to give up hope in the face of delays or apparent inactivity. You hoped for so much, but you've so far seen so little. Perhaps even now you're listening to whispers of discouragement, maybe even allowed cynicism to creep in. I'd like us to make a response now as we close. And actually, could we have the talent? Could we have you back here? Now, I'm just going to pray while these guys get ready. Maybe God has spoken to you this morning. If you took my suggestion earlier, you asked him to, so he may well have done. What's he said to you? Because he's got this habit of speaking really right into our situations, isn't he? He's amazing. You're not a crowd. You're an individual in a crowd. He knows exactly what you needed to hear. What's he said to you today? I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond in a minute. All of us to respond if we want. But I just want to, before we do something like that, I just want to just give an opportunity. In all the songs that we sung about Jesus earlier, maybe those words didn't really refer to you. It's your breath in my lungs, so I pour out my praise, directed to the King of Kings, Jesus, the one who's told us about this parable of the growing seed. At the beginning, when we sang that song, it wouldn't be true of you. But maybe you want to make it true of you. Maybe as we pray and we close our eyes and we bow our heads, one or two of you might actually want to say, actually, you know what? I want to give my allegiance to you, King Jesus. Maybe that's for you something that you've done before, but you know you need to kind of do it again, afresh. But maybe for one or two of you, it actually might be for the first time. So let's just bow our heads and fix our focus on Jesus, the King of Kings, right now. As we close our eyes, if you know you want to make a, you want to orientate your life towards the King of Kings, why don't you put your hand up right now? If this is for the first time you want to do that. And maybe for all of us here, the Holy Spirit's been speaking to us, and particularly feel that for those who've lost heart, there have been delays and discouragements, things haven't worked out quite as you hoped, apparently no progress. Jesus would say, trust me. Be ready, like the farmer, to reap at the proper time. Maybe the shoots will come this week. Don't know. That's up to him. Just go on being seeds. If you know that you've lost hope a little bit in situations, I'm going to invite you to come forward in a second. But there's one other category I feel like the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you about. It's about this bit about we play our part and God does his part. And some here might feel a sense of burdened, maybe, with the responsibility. It hasn't worked. And you feel like a real heaviness and weight on you. And I know from personal experience that when things don't work out like that, and I get it all wrong, and I think it's more depends on me than it does. Actually, it depends on God. But when I get that out of balance, that can lead to bad health. Bad mental health, bad physical health. And Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Some of you are burdened by things that God doesn't want you to carry. It's not that you're not to care, but you need to know, we need to know, we need to learn the rhythms of God, and that God does it, and it's him. And we can trust him. And maybe you've been depending more on yourself, and that leads to all sorts of pressures which Jesus doesn't want us to carry. So if in either of these categories, whether it's firstly you've given in to discouragement, and by coming forward you're saying, Jesus, I put my trust in you again, or you just know that you've got things a little bit out of place, then I'm going to give you an opportunity as the band plays right now for you to come forward. So would you like to come forward? We're just going to pray for you. Is that okay?